About like an onion.
You
want
peppermint?
Don't like peppermint.
It's good for your stomach.
That's what they say. I don't like it. Don't like the flavor. Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 4 of the Revelation, and I'll read it first. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elders, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third had a face like a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts each had on them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lived forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Boy, there's a whole bunch of religion in this thing, mistranslated. I mean, you know, the way it, all this mistranslation and misunderstanding of the language and of the parabolic language, the symbolism. They've missed it totally, so they've made their own religions out of it, and it's terrible. But anyway, we'll see what we can do to try to straighten it out. When it says in the first verse, after this I looked, and behold a door. First of all, it doesn't say that. The word after is really the word meta. And it means what?
In the midst of.
So in the midst of these things, all these things we've already seen, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now, when we say a door was opened in heaven, we see in our mind, we see somebody, or just see a door automatically opening up in the sky somewhere. True or false?
In
religion, that's what they teach. A door is just an opening, an entrance, okay? So what I was saying here was he was giving you an entrance into the realm of the Spirit. Heaven is not a place geographically, it's a condition. It's what it is. It's the true life, is the realm of the Spirit. God lives in Spirit, because He is Spirit. Mm-hmm. So we are Spirit. So when He gives us an entrance into that place, then things make sense. But until then, we use all this make-believe stuff that religion has come up with. It was opened in the realm of the Spirit, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet. What does a trumpet symbolize?
The word voice.
The word of God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Every time it spoke, it was like the word of God. Talking with me. That word with, guess what that word is?
Meta.
It's meta again. So where's that voice talking?
Inside.
See, most people say it was outside talking to you, but that word says it's inside. Mm-hmm. It's in the midst, or amid you, which said, come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. Okay? Now, that word right there, come up where?
Into the spirit room.
Hither.
Okay, but what's the word hither? Mita.
Is it?
Yeah. They got the word translated in three different words here in this one verse.
So that's going inside into the spirit.
Sure it is. It says, come on into the spirit realm, see, into the mist. And if you come in, see, God can't show you something external. He's got to show it to you internal. Because God lives internal and that's where he works. Isn't that true? See? So he's wanting to show you something in here. And see, the whole King James Bible is translated into getting you to focus external. It's not out there. It's within you as an individual. And when we come to that understanding, we get away from all that religious hoodoo stuff they throw out and everything will be fine.
It's more come up into the spirit realm.
It's not come up. It's just come in here.
Mm-hmm. Be aware of where you're at.
Yeah. And it's what's going on inside of you. Remember the first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
in you. And I will show you things which what? Of a necessity to be where? Hereafter?
Right.
Guess what
now.
That word is?
Right now.
That's no. Mita again.
Hereafter.
It's the same Mita. Word.
So yeah. read that verse.
The way it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. In the midst of these things, I looked, and behold, a door was open in the realm of the Spirit. I was given entrance. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, that of a trumpet, or the word of God talking in the midst of me, which said, come in, or into the center, into the midst, and I will show you things which is of necessity to be in the midst. He's showing you things that have to be in your midst before you can truly understand things.
So God's showing you what's in the spirit inside of you.
And until you see that, you're still going to be stuck in that external realm of religion.
When you read this, and I wrote this down, you care if I share it?
Go ahead.
It said, all things become strange in the awakening to the truth within you. All the religious lies are revealed and they look like monsters.
It looks like up to the religious people. Until you see the truth, and then you're free. Because there's no monsters. It's amazing what one verse can do to change the whole view of everything you see.
So he's showing you the truth that is within you.
Everything is within you. It's always been that way, but religion, because of their lack of understanding, they got to come up with something because they feel like, I'm under the gun, I've got to produce. I don't have to produce anything. I just got to repeat what he shows me. I don't have to make anything. And if God doesn't show me anything, what have I got to say? Keep my mouth shut.
Well, if you realize it's all inside you, you don't need religion.
No. See,
that's a threat to their livelihood.
This whole thing about, and see, they got to keep the church going. See, they got to keep this thing going because it's serious to them. It's their livelihood. This isn't about livelihood. It's about life. See, they've got it all in finances, and it's about life itself. And I can't come to true life until I understand who I am. I don't know who I am. I could think I'm a Cocker Spaniel or something. You know, who knows?
You're going to make a board to show how many you hear each week. Right there. It's a circle.
That's pretty
easy.
You're
circle.
Pretty crafty. I know you can do it.
It's good to take and break that down.
Sure it is.
Make it to where it's plain so we can... You can run.
Remember he said, write it down, make it plain so those that read it can run with it. Think?
I mean, you know, that way it's easier to understand it, break it down so that you can go one farther to something else.
Right, you get the foundation laid, then you can move on.
Yeah, simplify this, then you can go on to greater things.
Well, that's what this book is. It's just something that just keeps building as we go in this revelation.
That's that step by step, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, verse 2. And immediately I was in what?
Spirit.
In the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in where?
In the Spirit.
In the realm of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And notice that it says, and one sat on the throne.
Yeah.
That word one isn't there.
Mm-hmm. It's italicized.
Wonder who was the one person being talked about in that verse?
You are.
I was John at the time, but who was he? But it was in representation of who?
The Christ.
Not the Christ. The Christ, but all of us. It says, and I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the spirit realm, and should say, I sat on there. And the word I isn't in there. It's implied he's talking to the only one they're talking about to sit on the throne. And see, if you don't feel, and that's why Jesus said, do not worship me, I am your elder brother. If we see Jesus as someone superior to us, then we're missing the whole point, are we not?
Yeah.
We have to realize we're equal. That's why I can sit on the throne with him, because we are brothers and sisters. We're not lesser, we're just younger. See? When he said elder, which means older, he was the oldest brother. He was the first of many brethren. See? And they're all the same. They all have the same father. See? So, religion won't let you hear that because they don't know it. And it said the same thing, what it said here. Immediately he was in the spirit. And in Revelation 1 and 10, I think it is. 1 and 10. He says, I was in the spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind me the voice of a great trumpet. Same thing again. Who's he hearing?
The word.
He's hearing
word
God.
Inside.
Well, he's hearing God speak to him inside, because God dwells within us. We need to understand that. When you hear voices, and it's not always having to do with spiritual things. You know, I might go to pick up a cookie right here in front of me, and I hear, you don't need that. You know, that's God too.
Giving you direction.
Sure, I don't need to do that because that could cause harm to me. See, just in the everyday, what people call mundane things, the simplest, minutest details is what God wants of your life. That's what he wants in your life. It doesn't have to be all this, ooh, spooky stuff like the world thinks.
Everybody wants to hear God talking to him.
They're scared of it.
No, they don't pay attention when he does talk to you.
No.
Like you said, in something simple like that, well, that's just me talking.
No, but that's God talking to you. He's telling you what you shouldn't do because you might harm yourself.
But then the devil comes along and says, go ahead and eat that cookie.
Eat too.
They're small.
But that's what I'm saying. Just last week, and Lois knows this, we had to go somewhere. I don't remember where we went. We was away from home for a while. And I was coming back, and I said, something just went off my head. I said, it's the second time today it's told me this. I've heard this in my head. I need to go check the propane tank for fuel, for heating. I just checked it 2 weeks ago, and it was sitting on 80%. That's full with propane. When 2 weeks you're not going to use much of anything. But I said, I keep getting this in my head. So I said, as soon as we get home, and I just pulled up, stopped right there, got out of the truck. So just a minute, I'm going to go check it before I put the truck away and walk back there. And when I opened the tank, it said 10%. At 25 is where you're supposed to call them so you can get fuel right away.
Was your gauge messed up?
Evidently something was wrong. But why did I hear that in my head when I'm driving up the road somewhere? I heard it earlier in the morning, and I didn't go check it, but I was coming home, and I said, I heard that again, and I told you, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And see, to me, that's God telling me, you need to go. I needed to. When they came to that 10%, it was down to
5 gallons.
5 gallons. It was down to 5 gallons of fuel when they filled it up, not when it 10%, but when they actually got here to fill it up Monday, 5 gallons was left in the tank.
Mm.
That ain't very much. That's a few more hours, you know. But if I hadn't listened, guess where we'd have been Monday afternoon?
Being cold.
It'd been cold Monday evening. Or else I'd have paid twice the price for the fuel to have them bring it at night after hours.
Purge the lines and everything.
Yeah, been a whole lot of work to get that air out of it.
Think about that. That's where Samuel was whenever he was in the...
In the Holy of Holies. He was hearing, but he wasn't sure.
Right.
But see, he was young, and he didn't know the voice of God.
Yeah.
So it was strange to him. But as we've been with God and realized that God's dwelling within us after a period of years, just like I've used example, if you call Lisa, does she have to say, who is this?
No.
Why?
She does.
Why?
That's my voice.
Why? Why does she know your voice? Relationship. That was the word I was going for. I knew we'd get there eventually. And the same thing with God. If you know his voice, God's not going to tell you something to harm you, is he?
No.
He's going to warn you about things if you pay attention and listen. be sensitive to that, what the book calls that still, small voice. He's not going to scream at you and say, put that cookie down. He's going to say, shouldn't eat that cookie.
That's also...
End of story. He's not going to make you stop.
In here when it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says.
Seven times.
And it's also like the Shema in the Old Testament.
Hear.
Hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively.
To what you hear. Yeah.
And he wants that obedience, not our sacrifice.
Absolutely.
Obedience to even the small things, because not trusting saying, oh, that don't matter.
No. It does. See, every detail does matter, because every detail of our life is built, is predicated upon what has already been said and done. And if we miss something, then something's going to be out of whack. So we have to pay attention and do everything in the order that He gives it to us to. And I'm just using that little tiny detail, which most people would never pay attention to in anything. But I'm aware that I'm listening, because I hear His voice. And I knew it was God, because who else would have any benefit in telling me to go look at the tank?
Yeah.
I mean, his voice, like we say, we know that relationship, we hear that voice. It's the nature and the character of the message that's coming to you. That right there tells you who it is.
Now, does it, that how, the effect of that,
mm-hmm.
not even just your stand warms up, does it that increases your faith?
Your faith,
you grow in that faith.
Your confidence in knowing that voice when you hear it.
Yeah, you hear it and you recognize it. And
so,
even in the small things, or when you get in a real tough situation, but if you hear it and heard intelligently, if you heard it intelligently and responded positively, or just done it, it's sort of like I could be doing something and all of a sudden it's just like something is right, and I wait on it, and then all of a sudden, bam, it comes, and it takes care of it. That builds
confidence.
Your faith and your confidence in it.
You can ask Lois, we'll be doing all kinds of things, no matter what it might be. And I'll say, question. You know, I heard something, you know. And so I'll ask her questions about things, don't I? I do it all the time. I mean, because I'm always trying to listen. So if I have the ability to listen, and we do, what should we be doing all the time?
Listening.
Pay attention.
If we're blessed because we have ears to hear, then we should be using that blessing to further our walk in God. I mean, it's simple. If we just listen to what He asks, He's not going to ask something you can't do. He said, I've never put anything on you can't bear.
Feels like it sometimes.
Oh, yeah, He's going to stretch you, but He's not going to put you in a place where it harms you.
I think that shows you personally that
He loves you.
You can't handle this because I'm...
Sure it is. And that's what I said about this thing. It's all progressive. It's building on the fact that you need to know who you are and who He is in you. And every time He tells you to do something, it's going to get a little bit more difficult, so you can build yourself up and keep encouraging yourself to continue on. He's not trying to blow you away so you'll go back and flop in the world with all the idiots out there. He's trying to get you to walk in confidence. I said it years ago, I know. Who would want to have a general lead them into battle and he says, well, gosh, I don't know what we should do. You know, you want someone with some kind of confidence and know what they're doing. I mean, King David made many, many mistakes. He was a king, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He made many mistakes, but he was always quick to say, that wasn't right. Let's do it another way. See? I'm paraphrasing there, but he said, you know, Lord, don't ever take your Holy Spirit from me. But he knew he made a mistake, so he changed his course whenever he made that mistake. And he didn't go back and repeat, because it doesn't say anything in the Scripture about it. If he had it, I'm sure he would have. And used that as a negative example. See? So, it's okay to make mistakes, but you should have enough confidence in whatever you have faith in, whatever faith you have in God, stand for it. Don't be bluffed out of it by some foolishness, you know. If you know it's the truth, stand with it. And when it does, He'll give you something else, you know. He'll give you a little bit more. But you've got to, you know, it's almost like you're earning it, but it's not earning it. It's you're learning more about the confidence that God has within you as an individual. God already knows where you're at, and that's not a deal. He's showing you how much confidence He has in you to give you the things you need to do.
Yeah, so we won't faint.
Yep, He's showing you how much confidence He has in you to accomplish the things He's asking you to do.
Without that, if you would be put through some of the hard things that you go through now, without this thing building your faith,
if you miss a step, you might fall in the abyss.
Yeah, it's just like, you really fall on your face.
You would. I mean? Yeah.
It would be like almost a hopeless thing, but...
Why do you think the church world's always fallen?
It just like puts you just a little bit above where you're at, and then it just kind of builds you and makes your confidence grow. He's faithful.
Why do you think the church world is constantly rearing up and falling down, raising up and falling down? Because they're not following any kind of pattern. It's just I call it a spastic reaction to whatever the preacher says to them.
Knee-jerk reaction, yeah. Right?
Just uncontrollable, don't know what it's all about.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. We're in 3, right? And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. Now there's some things in here that would contradict some of the natural things, which make you understand, really, this isn't about the natural. He said, the one to look upon the first one was like a jasper stone. Okay? It was the fourth row, or the last row, of the ephod, and it was blue and purple. Speaks of royalty. And a sardine stone was the first row of the ephod, and it was a flesh-colored stone. But you notice it was the first and the last? Now, what's this kind of like pointing to? And having a rainbow around, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and the covenant with the rainbow round about the throne, and in the sight like unto an emerald.
An emerald's green, life.
There you go. Okay. But see, this isn't talking about Jesus the person again.
Talking about the Christ in you.
It's talking about you as an individual. This, you got to see you sitting on that throne. Didn't he say, if you ever come, you'll sit with me on my throne? Okay. Nobody can see because of sin. Oh, that's too lofty of a place that we could ever go to. God doesn't feel it's too lofty. You're his son. Which father doesn't want his son to step in his footprints? Right? Which teacher doesn't want his students to surpass him? And even go further? Okay. So they're not looking at it in the right way. Okay.
Can we go over that and put that in the right?
Okay.
Real quick, just that.
And he that sat was to look upon a jasper stone, or the last, and a sardine stone being the first, and there was a covenant, a rainbow, a covenant around about the throne. And see, it's talking about God. And when we say Christ, what is Christ? Christ is the Spirit of God. And God is spirit. So wouldn't you say, didn't Jesus say, I and the Father are one?
It's the energy that makes things go.
It's the whole, it's the everything. Okay? So when it says there's a covenant round about the throne, who made the covenants? See, not Jesus the man, was it?
No.
It was God. It was by spirit. And in sight like unto an emerald or life. And the covenant that God makes is life. See, although man has totally, the Jewish nation and everybody since that time, has violated every covenant that God ever conceived of.
Because
wouldn't you agree?
Still in the flesh, they're not.
Well, right, they're still in the flesh. But God never violated the covenant. He said what he's going to do regardless of what they do. He's already made his plan. See, and they think because... they think the way they think, I broke the covenant, so the covenant's null and void. He didn't say that, did he?
Yeah, they did.
They think it. God never said he voided any covenants. Did he? Now, I can't find it anywhere. If you find it, let me know. Verse 4 goes on to say this, and round about the throne were 24 seats. Okay? And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. This is neat. I like this one. And round about the throne, what is the throne?
The place where Christ sits.
It's a place for the God-man to rule. It's for the God-man to rule. And when we say rule, we're not talking about you do this and you do that and you better not do that. It's talking about living and ruling just like God does. If we're sons of God and we come to maturity, what mind do we have?
Mind of God.
The same mind. The mind of Christ is nothing more than the mind of God, is it? He said, I and the Father are one. And he also prayed in John 17, he said, Father, make them one with me as I am one with you. So guess what? Guess what our mind will be?
Yes.
Well, it's in a process. It's there, but we don't know about it totally. Okay, it's a process we're going through. He saw 4 and 20 seats. Okay, 4 and 20 seats. What were? What is that?
The government of witness of God. The government of God.
Right? Yeah, it's the rulership. It's the government's best word, I guess it is. The government of God. It's the seats prepared for the first fruit sons. Okay. And upon the seats, okay, the thrones, I saw 4 and 20 elders. That's the many-membered Christ. And it's not literally 24, just like it wasn't literally one Christ. You know, it's a many-membered body. And they were sitting there clothed in what?
Righteousness.
God's righteousness, the white raiment. Mm-hmm. And they had on their heads what?
The authority of God.
Crowns of gold. The minds of Christ. See, gold speaks of what?
God.
The nature and the character of God. You know, the pure nature and character. And so, just like the Ten Commandments said, you know, what we call is in the church realm, they call Ten Commandments, which we know are better as Ten Promises or Ten Prophecies, that God says, when I get done with you, you won't steal, you won't lie, you won't kill, you won't covet, you know. All those things.
You
won't be able to.
Love can't do any of those things.
If you have this mind of Christ, how could you even consider those things in your mind?
Yeah.
See, they're not even there. It's like he said, when I take out your old heart and give you a new heart, the old heart's trashed out. It's thrown away. So what can you do? What connection do you have to it? There's no connection. So when he changes that old heart out and gives you that new mind of Christ, you have no connection to that way of thinking like we have in the natural realm.
The only way you have it is if you allow it to seep in.
No. If he has changed it, there's no capacity.
Well, there you go.
See, if he's already made the switch, there's no way that you can even think that. See? So, they don't understand because they haven't had the surgery yet. Okay?
Not enough people praying for him.
That was the key, wasn't it? Okay. And out of the throne, okay, and the throne being the place of rulership, right, proceeded lightnings, and thunderings and voices. Now, lightnings and thunderings, what does that speak of?
That's what they heard when God spoke. Those outside there.
Outside, never understood. They heard the noise. See, just a noise. They couldn't understand it. But their lightnings, thunderings, and voice. And I don't think they heard voices. The word is voice. And they heard the voice of God. But only the third realm hears that realm.
The other ones just heard an unfamiliar...
They heard a sound. But they could say, well, it's something, but we don't know what it is.
Like we were saying earlier, when you heard that word and you knew that...
I needed to go do it.
You needed to go do it. Yeah. The other ones that said, where in the world's that coming from?
Yeah. What's it?
And if I'd have said it to anybody else other than you, they said, well, you're nuts. You know, that's okay.
This just pestered me.
Yeah. Little aggravation.
Noises.
One of them little devils running around testing, you know, aggravating you in your head, you know. Well, that's not true, but they can believe anything they want to, can't they?
So that'd be like the voices.
I've actually seen the little devils running around his head, and I don't like him, so we'll stick with the one that they're hearing.
Yeah, I would hope so. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. That makes it pretty plain, doesn't it?
That's self-explanatory in that
one. I mean, that just tells you exactly what it is. You can go to Zechariah 4. Chapter 4, verse 2 through 10, or you can read the whole chapter, really, it's good on it, about the spirits and the lamps and everything. Okay, another one. Verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. A sea of glass. What's a sea speak of?
Multitudes
of humanity, absolutely. Of glass. What does glass speak of?
That's when dust and sand is heated
in the fire.
In the fire,
it becomes crystal clear. So it becomes glass. Okay, that's the first two covenants in their woes.
you get to see your nastiness.
Yeah, being worked out of you, and it becomes clear as crystal what it is, huh? In the midst of the throne, and in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were four beasts. What's that speak of? Four beasts.
Spiritually, or
complete beasts.
It's a complete beast. That's the God-man. The complete beast. And he's full of what?
Eyes.
Eyes. Okay? What do you think that might be? I'm going to give you some verses. We're going to touch one of them at least. But there's several more of them. Zechariah 3:9 is one you can touch on. And Revelation 5:6, just my Bible's on the same page. He said, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into where?
All the earth.
I thought that just went to the ones that said, I'm sorry, forgive me. Mm-mm. Oh, okay. Well, maybe I was wrong. So, the four beasts full of eyes. What do you think that's really meaning? Full of eyes.
Vision, for one.
Yeah, full of eyes being completely having the complete vision.
Mm-hmm. Before and okay. behind.
Not just, it's not just looking in direction, if it's saying complete understanding when you look.
The thing Preston said about being on top of the building and seeing the
how much better
the
you can see
and the end of the parade.
Yeah.
That's what I've seen in that.
Well, I'm trying to take it out of that realm of a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's go away from the physical and look at it in the spiritual. That we have the eye of understanding, the eyes of God.
Mm-hmm.
If He creates the hearing ear and seeing eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we can see and hear. So I'm trying to get you to see that this eye that He's talking about is a spiritual eye to see all things. You can have your physical eyes closed mm-hmm. and still see things in the spirit.
Why are you in that place of the throne?
But you live in this throne place.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When He placed us in this throne realm here,
mm-hmm.
He gave us the capability of seeing.
Well, He already had it. He just opened it up to us. Remember it says in Ephesians 1, you were chosen in Him when?
Before the foundation. Before the conception.
Before the conception of the world. See, so, and He says, I will pour out my spirit upon my sons, what? Without measure. So what did He give you that you would lack in? Absolutely nothing. See, you got to see these little details of what He said He did. It's a past tense. It's already there. All He's doing, like we're talking about this book of Revelation, of the Revelation, is that it's a progressive thing, building as we go. Our walk in Him is building as we go. We're going up, 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 up as we go. And up is not physical. Up, it's another level of understanding. Okay? And that's why I'm wanting you to say, don't look at the eyes as being a physical thing of seeing behind and in front or back, wherever, you know. It's something being able to have an understanding of anything that comes your way.
Can you see that, too, as a measuring tool of where you were and where you've come?
I wouldn't want to use it that way.
Okay.
Because then it's almost like a competition. I've got this. Let me finish what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's like, if you use something and say, as a measuring tool, well, I was here last week and I'm here this week, so next week I should be here. And that's putting a burden on you thinking that you shouldn't have to. You live in the now, right now. This is where I am.
Okay.
Where I am next week, that's up to Him.
That's not what I'm saying.
I know, but I'm saying what most people think.
I'm saying I had this storm, and I saw that storm that I was in, and I came through. And now I'm over here, I'm looking back like, wow, you come through that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no problem now.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, but your choice of words last time wasn't
your faith grew in God because of that storm.
Yeah, but we shouldn't be looking back. Is what I'm saying. Forget about what lies behind.
Okay,
and realize that right now is the only time we have. Is that correct?
Yes.
There's no tomorrow. There's no yesterday. It's now. And in our walk with God, that's all we have. We have the now with God, because God is now.
We need to wear T-shirts, all of us wear T-shirts, so we can remind each other of that daily.
Well, I understand. I'm just encouraging you to not look back, because those little things that I said, these little important details that we're picking up on, we can pick up and hold on to those little unimportant details that we've picked up through the system and through life that are not important, that hinder us in our thinking process. So we have to be as aware of realizing that's not God's words. They may be cute words. You know, the church has these little cute sayings. You see them hanging all over the place, you know. But it's not necessarily spiritually lined up. So it's just some cute saying somebody came up with. And that can hinder us as much as not doing anything.
So in a way, this is Christ, you know, the disciples was asking for Jesus to add your faith to our faith,
mm-hmm.
which is basically our faith is nil and void. It's nothing. Zilch.
Who just shall live by
the flesh and blood
his faith.
So not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's nothing. This is actually, he's adding it to
us. He's adding it to
God
us. And that's why I say we don't look at where we were last week, and okay, this week I'm here, next week I should be somewhere, but maybe you need to sit there for a while to soak this thing in, to really assimilate it in and understand what you're doing.
It's in his time, we can't get anxious.
Yeah, don't get in a hurry about it.
Hurry.
I kind of can see what she's saying. It's you're building on a foundation of mm-hmm. things that you didn't realize that you could do.
Capable mm-hmm. of.
And mm-hmm. he reminded you of what
yeah.
you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you get to a new spot and you think, that looks so hard. You can look and say, well, look what I've already come mm-hmm. through. And I didn't think I could do that. I surely can do this.
You're realizing.
I can understand what she's saying. But what I was trying to say is, don't look back, no matter what you've went through, because we've all went through a lot of crap, right?
Yeah.
Don't look back to all that stuff, because look forward. See? Don't look back. But and there's a passage of Scripture, and I can't pull it up right now. I'm just getting a piece of it. Not to look back, but look unto God, Christ, our author and finisher of our faith.
Not
to look back. Yeah, don't look back.
I'm not going there.
Well, no, but I'm saying, anytime we look back at some accomplishment we've came through, we're looking the wrong direction. I'm saying we know we came through it because we experienced it. I'm just saying not to focus on anything back there any more than you absolutely would have to for something, because looking back takes our eyes off of the author and the finisher of our faith.
But if you use the term experience as the only teacher,
mm-hmm.
that is
looking back.
Because you're reflecting on what you've learned through another lesson.
I don't know about that. I have to think about that one.
All right, we'll think about it.
I have to think about it.
In a way, you're kind of realizing
what
your strength is now because of what God's put you through.
Already brought you through.
You're realizing the strength of the precious stone that you are now because of all the pressures that God has took you through to get you to that state. Does that make sense?
I thought I was
going to
make it
seem. Well, he was just expressing the way that he understood.
I didn't.
Okay, since we're pausing on that, we'll go to the next one.
That's one of them say lies, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 7, it says, the first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Okay? Now, that was the wheel and a wheel in Ezekiel, you know, the four faces there, you know, same ones. But what's it all saying? The face of a lion. Jesus was a lion of the tribe of Judah.
To represent strength?
Well, it could represent strength, leadership, you know, kingship, you know, the lion, the king. The second beast, like a calf, it's young and frail and won't hurt anybody, just like a little sheep. You know, it's tender, young, won't hurt anybody. Third beast, like a face of a man. Well, you know what man is. Man's like a brute beast made to be taken, destroyed. The heart of man is desperately wicked and evil above all things. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. What's most people think an eagle is?
overcomer.
I think of freedom.
Yeah. But yet, an eagle, if you go back to Isaiah 40:31, he talks about an eagle being an immature child of God. It said, you know, they that, let me turn there. I can do it better than trying to quote it out of my head sometimes.
The
Lord shall renew their strength. There it is. Okay. But they that wait upon the Lord, or expect the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. There's the first one. That's the immature one. They will run and not be weary. That's Passover. And they shall walk and not faint. That's the ones who's slowing down and getting a hold of everything going on. They're not swayed by all the things going on in life. They've just got confidence and they just go on and do what they got to do. But eagle, scripturally, I can see where you're saying about the freedom and soaring around and everything. And that's, but see, sometimes the natural, that's what I was saying about the natural, sometimes takes us away from the scriptural meaning of that same word. So we have to look at the spiritual side to get the fullness of it. But you can look at that in Ezekiel 1 and 10 and Ezekiel 10:21. And in other places, it's considered to be the four gospels, the four different types, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the way that they operated. Okay, verse 8, it goes on and says, and the four beasts, that's the complete God-man, had each one of them six wings. And six being what?
Number of man.
The number of man. Okay, and the wings, what are the wings? Their mode of transportation, their movement about him. And they were full of eyes. What does that say?
They're their own vision.
Well, not necessarily their own vision, but these are the four beasts, the complete God-man. So what would their vision be? It would be a God vision.
So the four beasts and the six wings you said was man.
That was their nature of that they're in. We're just like us. We're in a
God-man.
We're a God-man.
Okay.
We're living in a flesh body, you know, that has that
just
aspect.
Trying to get that.
Okay, that's all right.
Tie together.
Okay. And they were full of eyes, that's the vision of God, that's the seven spirits, remember, within, and they rest, is that right? The word rest should be cease. They cease not day and night saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. What would that be?
They're aware of the fullness of God.
And they're worshiping God, mm-hmm. and see our and I know I've said it to you, but worship is not saying holy, holy, holy.
No.
Worshiping is your lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
being like Him. But that last part there, where it says, "which was and is to come," it should say this: the one being, and was and is appearing. It's a present tense. It's a past tense. He was, right. The one being right now, and the one that was, and the one that is appearing. It's three different contexts, but still the same one. It's kind of like the Greek Greek language, which as they say is in the present progressive aorist tense of the word, when it's now to whoever reads it.
Mm-hmm.
So if Lloyd was to read it a year ago, and we're expressing, we're saying then, back then, it was. But if Lisa reading it right now, it's present. And if Lois reads it, it's
tomorrow.
It's still a present thing, but yet it's now at the same time when each one of you read it.
While
you're into it, actively doing it.
Then it's now then.
Yeah, but still, it's all now, but it's all just expressed in different tenses by the way you look at it.
As time is passing, mm-hmm. each time you do it, it's now when you're doing it. That's
yeah.
the only time you can do it.
Right. And when those beasts give glory, that complete God-man again, give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who lived forever and ever, or into the ages, the 24 elders, that's the ruling class, first fruits, fall down before Him that sat on the throne. Now, see, who's everybody thinks sitting on the throne?
God.
See, it is. What?
angels or saints?
No. Well, a lot of them, they think it's Jesus sitting on the throne. But Jesus is a brethren just like we are. So he still worships God. And he did by his lifestyle because he emulated God in his life, didn't he? And that's the pattern we're supposed to follow, to emulate God in our lifestyle every day. So it's not Jesus sitting on the throne, but the one that's on the throne and lives into the age of ages and casts their crowns. Okay, what is their crowns?
Mind. Your thoughts?
Well, it's a combination of that. It's their mind, their will, and their authority. That you're giving everything you have over to the will of God.
You give
self over. Everything is self. Is,
I surrender all.
Yeah. That's the way the church would say it. And there's all.
And then they don't.
And then they don't. So, and it goes on to say, before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, because you have created all, the word things isn't there. You've created all, and for your pleasure or for your choice or purpose, they are and were created.
In other words, I submit myself to you.
Whatever God wants, amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's just it.
I'll wait on you, I'll submit.
Yeah, I don't have to do anything today until you communicate with me what you want me to do.
And the sad part about that is I see so many people that
and what are they doing right there?
They're
denying God. They're saying God didn't say I could.
God made a mistake with me.
Yeah, I can't be good enough.
And if you say to them, you don't understand what you're saying, you just say one sentence, you're saying, oh, I love God, I love going to church, and then the next minute you say, oh,
I'm not worthy.
When things get tough, then it's, oh, no, I can't.
Well, some people every day for me stuff, and they say that every day. I'm like, really, people?